But tonight we will turn to Exodus chapter 18 and I'll read verse 1. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. No. There's a lot of redundancy. I think it is about 10 times that Jethro is referred to as Moses' father-in-law. And anytime you see repetition and redundancy in the scripture, it is something important. And this man was a very important, influential figure in the life of the man of God, Moses. And God always brings influential figures in the lives of godly men, all. If there's not an influential figure in your life, in your Christian pilgrimage, you should look back again and see if you are a man of God or a person of God. Because this is how it is throughout scripture. We were introduced to Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, back in Exodus 2. Here in Exodus 18, Jethro appears again. Now this chapter shows how a man of God, or the man of God, Moses, responded to correction. The character of a person is often revealed when they are corrected. When a Christian person is on a wrong path, spiritually or even socially, they should welcome correction. Quite often, this is the opposite in the church. The character of a person comes out when they are corrected, not when they are cuddled, not when they are flattered, but when they are corrected. What use is the word of God if we are not being corrected by the word of God? And at times, correction comes from someone who knows more than you about the word of God. It is often the human instrument God uses to bring correction, and at times, retaliation is brought upon that instrument from the people of God. Back in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 18, Moses asked leave from Joshua, his father-in-law. Moses did not vanish off the scene like so many professing Christians do today. Just vanish off the scene. Now I get these character traits that I try to teach from the Bible. He didn't vanish off the scene. He asked leave from his father-in-law. He showed accountability. And as Brother Colin was saying this morning, I don't know how much he mean about that. He showed transparency. And sometimes you and I have to be careful that what we are saying match what we are doing. We read in Exodus 4, verse 18, so Moses went and returned to Joshua, his father-in-law, after chapter 2, and said unto him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt. This is after God had called him. Moses could have vanished off the scene because God called him. He didn't do that. He respected the human element. Let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. I read from the New King James. We should not overlook these moral characteristics that we see in men of God. And we should mimic them. We should copy them. We should ask God's help to practice them. Jethro showed kindness to Moses in undertaking his wife and his sons. Now Moses shows accountability to his father-in-law. Sometime after the tragic ordeal with the first son of Moses, which I am sure some of you are acquainted with, what happened to Moses' first son? If you don't know, it means you're not reading the Bible. And these studies is also to provoke you to read your Bible. Not just for me to preach, to read your Bible and for you to know how much you know of the Bible. We have been here for a long time, and we should know the Bible. After the tragic ordeal with Moses' first son, he left his wife and his son with his father-in-law, maybe to avoid other danger. He saw what could happen with his father-in-law, Joshua, the priest of Midian. Now Jethro returns with them. And we are told this time there were two sons. So it means that somewhere in between this period, Moses had a second son. And the Bible didn't tell us when, but he had a second son. The headings we will address is as follows. 1, communion, verses 1 to 13. 2, counsel to Moses, verses 14 to 23. 3, correction. 24 through 27. As usual, only selected verses would be read. First, communion. The communion was between Jethro, Moses, and his family, and Aaron. The Bible says, how beautiful for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what communion is all about. Brethren dwelling together in unity. Jethro is a very important figure in history, as we said before. He was a priest in the land of Midian. And sometimes we feel that we are the only people of God. And God had Moses, as Moses fled from Pharaoh to Midian, he landed on a priest, exactly where God wanted him to be. And sometimes we left this state, and we end up someplace never inquiring about a godly influence and a godly church. Never. It's the last thing on our minds. We can learn from these principles in the Word of God. I'm not even doing an exegesis. I'm just showing you the character of this man and how God took care of him. Back in Exodus 2, as I said, Moses suddenly landed upon Jethro, but not by accident. God has a place laid out for his people when they flee. Moses' wife was one of seven daughters of Jethro. Again, we see the influence of this man and the picture that he had seven daughters. I wouldn't get into this right now. Here in chapter 18, they met in the wilderness of Sinai in communion. Well, you know what is about to happen at Sinai. You know what happened there. And please be alert this evening. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to call your name so that you would wake up. If I see you nodding, I will call your name to wake you up. You shouldn't come and sleep under the preaching of the gospel. There's only 20 of us in here. Moses' wife was one of seven. Here they met at Sinai. Jethro's motivation for returning to Moses was based on what he heard, for we read in the first three verses. I'll read 4. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel's people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, twice in two verses, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eleazar, for God, the God of my father, said, he was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Now it's clear here, the name Gershom means stranger, and by the way, that's what believers are. And that's why I tell this man is very important. The name Eliezer means God is my help. It was a small thought to consider. Men of God are responsible for their children. And Jethro is giving back Moses his responsibility. Men of God are not only responsible for their wives, but for their children. And however you cut it, this is what the Bible teaches. Short application. What is it that motivates you and me to communion and worship? What is it that motivates you? It's only a few of us to communion and worship. Well, it should be the same thing that motivated Jethro, Moses, Aaron, Moses' wife, and his two sons. It is what God has done in our souls. Jethro heard of Israel's deliverance. How good it is to thank the Lord. Verse 5 through 7, we read in Exodus 18. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kiss him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. Now this is fellowship. This is communion. This is a word, again, that was used this morning, transparency between brethren. They asked each other about their welfare. They exchanged pertinent, intimate information. This is what fellowship is. There was no hiding, just exposing themselves for what God did in their lives. Would to God that we, the people of God, was this way. We're talking about communion. Communion not only with God, but with one another. As we go on to read in verse 8, by the way, this Moses is subordinate to his father-in-law Jethro, that he reverenced him. And this was typical in Eastern culture, where people, when people come together, they greet one another. The parties that gather in the tent in the wilderness greeted one another. You know, a common thing in Zimbabwe that I always ask them, but why you guys got to do this? They greet you outside of the hut. Maggie, you see this, Jackie? Like, going around to all. 1, 2, 3, 4. Maggie. Okay, let's go in the house. Go in the house, sit down, same thing again. I said, what you just did this out there? That's their culture. They respect each other like that. Twice. And then they begin asking, how is this one? How is the other one? How is the brethren in Zimbabwe, at City View? How is this? And they're going like this. And Colin, you see this all the time. And it is not bad to show that kind of intimacy, even though they may not mean it. I don't know to what extent they mean it, but at least people don't have anything. And yet you see the milk of human love and kindness in these people. But this is simply what is going on here. Verse 8, and Moses told his father-in-law, I know if Desire or Tashana was to hear this message, they probably would be happy. But sometimes they tell me they listen, and if they got sufficient bundles. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Imagine Moses telling them how Pharaoh was drowned in the bottom of the Red Sea. That wasn't anything to gloat about, but it was to show the power of God in delivering his people. Moses did not only spoke of the good, but also the evils, and magnifies the goodness of God. And Jethro rejoices. Well, you know, back in Exodus 17, I wouldn't go there, familiar passage, the king of the Amalekites sought to make war with Israel when they were just delivered. But verse 9, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. You see, Jethro is is in stark contrast to Amalek, who sought to fight against Israel. Here, Jethro rejoices over Israel's deliverance. And this is to show that there is a great difference between a Christian and one that is not a Christian. What brings joy to a believer will not bring joy to an unbeliever. You hear what I say? What brings joy to a Christian will not bring joy to a person that is not a Christian. And you should know what brings joy to you. There are a lot of things that's going on in Zimbabwe that don't bring joy to me. But there are a lot of things that bring joy to me. I trust that I wouldn't be hurt again. But I rejoice when there is possibility for the advancement of the gospel. It brings joy to me. I would spend and be spent for the advancement of the gospel, not an unbeliever. Jethro rejoiced when he heard of this deliverance. You can study it for yourself. We rejoice over the triumphs of God's people. And he blesses the Lord. Now, if Jethro was not a believer, God would not have accepted his sacrifices. Verse 10 and 11 says, we're moving very quickly. Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who have delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who have delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. He's referring to the gods in Egypt. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. He's magnifying God, the God of heaven. And he rejoices over this. And then we read also in verse 12, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, rightly so, a priest also, and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Very important figure, Jethro. I wish I could do some more work on him, but he's a very important figure. Now, there are three elements seen in this communion. One, glory to God by Moses. Two, blessing and praise to God by Jethro. 3, burnt offerings and sacrifices offered to God. This is what true communion and worship is. God receives all the glory. Each time you read it, God, blessed be God. Glory to God. Praise to God. God gets the glory in worship. Today, a lot of people still would like to see me call up the mothers one by one and give each one of them a rose. That's what a lot of churches did today. Mothers show up with the biggest hats and each one of them get something and then walk away. I went to church and that's what I got. But did you get the gospel? That's what you need to get when you come into church, the gospel. If we have become the people of God, we too should show forth these graces. Jethro came all the way into the wilderness to meet Moses for worship. And some of us say, it's too far. I live over there, but it's too far. Yet, we can find the MTA when it is Monday and Tuesday. Jethro came to meet Moses for worship because of Yahweh's great deliverance. We call to remember Psalm 107 verse 15, oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness, for his manifold mercies to the children of men. Second, point number 2, counsel to the man of God, 13 and 14, Exodus 18. It came to pass on the morrow, this is a different section, that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening? Joshua offered wise counsel to Moses. He didn't like what he see. Verses 17 and 18. The thing you are doing is not good. You surely will wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Well, these are words of encouragement to the church. Now, we should think about these words. It's not only for Moses. It's for this church. This was really a form of chastening to the man of God, Moses. It showed the level of respect that he had for this Midian priest, Jethro. The Bible says, a wise son, heir of his father's instructions, but a scorner, heareth not rebuke. Jethro's counsel was twofold. One, it was negative. What you are doing is not good. People don't want to hear that. This is what biblical counsel is. And as I said, people don't want to hear that what they are doing is not good. But Jethro gave positive advice. Let's look at what Jethro suggested. And it is in about 4 verses. He says in verse 19, hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do. Verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. This counsel that Jethro gave to Moses, as you know, has become a pattern for the new covenant church today. You remember in the book of Acts, chapter 6, the apostles took up this pattern and said, "Look ye among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This is good counsel, but sometimes it is very difficult to find office bearers in the church. It's very difficult. You just don't select for the selection of men's sake. Now, we are suffering, as I bring this sermon, we are suffering in the office of the diaconate. And I don't know how long it would go on. I don't see any possibility of God increasing that number. But I strongly believe that men ought to prepare themselves for the ministry. From a young Christian, I was preparing myself for the ministry, not knowing where I would have been led. And I am not surprised that God saw it fit to place me in the ministry. I'm not surprised, because I was, and Jackie can bear me out on this, because I know Jackie forever. Yes, look across that area. I see some of them looking across at you. That's her over there. It's true. But we ought to be preparing ourselves that we would be men characterized by what we read here: honesty. Men that who can handle their finances. And one of the ways you can handle your finances is by giving to the Lord's work. We look at that first. Are you erratic and sporadic? You don't fit this characteristic. These are serious things. Jethro gave Moses counsel. Yes, he did. He says, "Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to thee." In other words, there was a man that had the oversight. The diaconate wasn't operating on their own whim. They had oversight. "But every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." Plurality of responsibility. They shall bear the burden with you. You shouldn't bear it by yourself. "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace." Well, obviously the place Jethro desired these people to reach was the land of promise. But God desired us to reach another land of promise. A Samaritan wrote a book. I think I gave it to somebody. A warning against ministerial burnout and backsliding. And he gave, I think, about 10 signs. And I read that book. And that's why I took a month off, because I was headed towards ministerial burnout and backsliding. And at times you need to consider that too for the man of God. He's not a machine. When when you begin to snap at your wife, you begin to do things like that, you know you're headed for ministerial backsliding and burnout. Jethro, a wise man. We can learn, brethren, from Moses' dealings with Jethro, that no servant of God is above correction. There was no spiritual leader in the scriptures beside the Lord Jesus that was as prominent as Moses. And yet, Moses was subject to correction. Who do we think we are? Sometimes you speak to some of the men and they pout at you. The principle of Joshua, or the principle Joshua taught Moses, is also taught in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God. And we should consider this. When we are taken off for excessive periods, we should consider this. Am I bearing my brother's burden? We should consider this. Some of us got a habit of doing that. Leaving the church hostage. And don't look for the deacons to say anything about it. They ain't gonna say anything. We should bear one another's burdens, lest we burn out one man. The workload in the church should never be placed on the shoulders of one person. It's not right. It's not morally right. It's not biblically right. So in our survey of Exodus 18, we saw this communion and worship. We saw the counsel to Moses. We said it was both negative and positive. We come to our last heading for this evening. Correction of the man of God, 24 and 25. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Now Moses didn't do all that God said to him. We read that so many times. He did all that his father-in-law said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people. Rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. What a wonderful conclusion. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law. I wonder how many of us can put our names here when the Lord offered counsel to us. And so-and-so hearkened to the voice of the one that gave the counsel. I wonder about this, if we can put our names there. The verse that we all know so well say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnish unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Life would be much different in the church for the Lord's people when we remember the words that I think we heard last Tuesday evening, striving or endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of peace. And I hope that when we say these things, that they're coming from a heart that believe it, and not from a book. Whatever I say to you don't come from a book. It comes from here. My own words interpreting the Bible. Not from a book. Proverbs Proverbs 15:10 says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. To forsake the way is to forsake the gospel. And the one who is forsaking the gospel is forsaking Christ. At times, correction is an insult to our pride. But here we see Moses accepting this correction. Verse 26 and 27. And they judged the people all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Job was completed. He went back. His mission was accomplished. Jethro. Brethren, this is our survey for this evening. It began with communion. The family of Moses. We saw in this communion elements of structured worship. I shared them with you in brief. Glory, praise to God for deliverance, blessing to God, sacrifices offered to God, elements of worship. We do this when we come to worship. We sacrifice to God with our lips and with our substance, our offering. It's a sacrifice to God, our worship, our thanksgiving, our singing, our praise, our preaching. Praise to God, glory to God. We saw in our study counsel given to the man of God, Moses. And I asked, what are you doing? The thing you are doing is not good, he said. Hearken, listen to what I say. Listen. That's what the word hearken means. When you and I are in right communion or right fellowship with our Savior, expect counsel from his word. You're not going to hear these same words. The thing you are doing is not good, but you're going to hear the same thing. What you are doing is not good. Listen. This comes to us every time the gospel is preached. Counsel. Worship is not jump up and down and feel good. The pastor is not a clown or an entertainer of goats. He is called to feed sheep. And part of feeding sheep is counsel. You don't have to sit in a study to counsel people. You counsel them from the pulpit. And the men that come here are not qualified to bring counsel. They see you once every 2 months. It is those who are among you. And God in his wisdom, that's why he said to Moses, get them from among you to bring counsel. But every time the gospel is open, it brings these things. That's what Timothy says, didn't I? Did I read it? Yeah. All scripture. You come into worship, we may have a lot of visitors coming here. They're not going to stay because there's sustained counsel from the word of God. They're not going to stay. The wonderful results we saw in the context from this counsel is correction. Application by the man of God. Application to counsel. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law. You and I may not have a father-in-law. And some of you might have been Presty sitting here. Presty, see, you got one. But I am not going in that direction, Brother Presty. You know I'm not going in that direction. But Christians are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have a father who would counsel us from the word of God. And I pray that God will be pleased to write these words on our hearts today. It's a shorter survey, but it is a very important survey of Moses, the man of God. Let's pray.
Amen.
O Lord God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Only, Lord, help us to be obedient to your word and to the counsel we receive from your word. Lord God, the Bible says that the way of transgressors is hard. But we pray, Lord, that we would find sweet counsel from the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.